Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine this. You've had a bit of a crash. Thankfully, everyone's okay, but your car's taken a hit. Now, who gets to decide if it's fixable or if it's basically just scrap metal? And, you know, how do they even make that call?
That's a question that, well, it could get a lot more complicated under some potential new rules brewing in Europe. We've been looking at this presentation from the Polish Chamber of Insurance, the PIU. They've got some strong views on a draft EU regulation about end-of-life vehicles, or ELVs.
Right, ELVs. So this proposal could really change the game for how cars are handled, like from the moment they're designed right through to when they're finally taken off the road.
Exactly. And the PIU document, it really zooms in on one specific crucial bit. The rules that can say, nope, this car has to be scrapped.
Okay, so our mission today is to unpack what the PIU is worried about, what they think the knock-on effects could be, things like repair costs, maybe even theft, and what they suggest doing differently. Let's dive in.
This is good.
All right, so this source material, this draft regulation, what's its official title? I bet it's a long one.
Oh, it is, yeah. According to the PIU, it's the Draft Regulation of the European Parliament and of the Council on Circularity Requirements for Vehicle Design and for the Management of End-of-Life Vehicles, Amending Regulations. Well, you get the idea. It amends a couple of existing regulations and repeals some older directives.
Okay. Yeah, quite the mouthful.
Definitely. And the version they're looking at is from May 2025, and it already includes some tweaks from the Belgian, Hungarian, and Polish presidencies.
So if we strip away all that jargon, what's the main goal here? What are they trying to achieve?
Well, the big idea is basically a circular economy for cars. Thinking about the old life cycle, you know, designing cars so they're easier to recycle later, and then making sure that when they do reach the end, they're dealt with properly to get the most resources back and create the least waste.
Makes sense. But where does the PIU see the friction? It sounds like their big worry is right at that decision point, repair it or scrap it.
That's precisely it. The presentation really hammers this point. The criteria in the draft, it's Article 37 and Annex, they mention, for deciding when a car must be withdrawn. They call them complicated and ambiguous.
Complicated and ambiguous for such a big decision. That sounds like a recipe for trouble.
The PIU certainly seems to think so. They point out this fuzziness allows for different interpretations and exceptions. And maybe more worrying, they say it is not known who is to settle potential disputes.
Right. So say my insurer thinks the car has to be scrapped based on their reading, but my mechanic disagrees. Under this draft, there's no clear referee.
That's the problem they're flagging. Yeah. And they also mention the rules, as written, won't apply equally to all vehicle owners, which just adds another layer of potential, well, unfairness or confusion.
Hmm. And who actually makes the call? Who does the assessment?
According to the document, it falls to insurance companies or independent experts.
Ah. So the insurer, who might be footing the bill for the repair or the payout, is also involved in deciding if it has to be scrapped based on these potentially unclear rules.
That seems to be the setup described, yeah.
Okay, so I've got unclear rules, no obvious way to sort out disagreements, maybe applied unevenly, and the assessment done by people with a potential financial stake. That's quite a mix. And then the PIU talks about the environmental impact, which is kind of surprising, isn't it? Since the whole thing is supposed to be for the environment.
It is a bit counterintuitive, yeah.
Mm.
This is where their analysis gets really interesting. They actually suggest these rules aimed at boosting circularity could end up doing the opposite. They might shorten the life cycle of vehicles and increase the number of waste.
Wait, how could rules about handling old cars lead to more waste?
Well, their logic ties back to those complex scrapping criteria again. If the rules make it compulsory or just way too difficult to fix cars that maybe could have been repaired otherwise,
then more cars just get junked prematurely.
That seems to be the core concern. They do add a little note saying maybe this won't happen if the rules somehow force creativity in repairs, but the main warning is about potentially creating more waste, not less.
And they make a point that this really matters because it mostly affects repairs paid for by insurance, right?
Yes, that's a key detail. They estimate that's around 60-70% of all repairs. So while the regulation covers everything, the practical impact of these specific repair versus scrap rules hits a massive part of the market.
And linking into this circular economy idea, they also raise a big flag about used parts.
They do, yeah. Looking at Articles 31 to 34 and parts of Annex 7, one of their major worries is that the rules, as they stand, do not encourage the use of used parts of documented origin.
Hang on, that seems backward, doesn't it? For a regulation pushing reuse and recycling, why wouldn't you want to encourage using perfectly good, traceable used parts?
Exactly. That's the PIU's point. And they spell out the consequence they see coming. These documented used parts, the ones you know where they came from, they've been checked. They will lose competition with much cheaper parts of undocumented origin and become waste.
So if the system doesn't make it easy or attractive to use the legit used parts in insured repairs, the demand goes to the cheaper, untraceable stuff.
And the good quality documented parts just end up getting scrapped anyway.
Wow. So a rule meant to reduce waste could end up wasting good parts and maybe even boosting a shadow market for undocumented ones. That feels like a major potential own goal.
It's definitely a significant risk the PIU is highlighting. And naturally, all these sort of technical and environmental points have real financial implications for insurers and, well, ultimately for you, the person owning the car.
Right. Let's follow the money then. What are the big financial hits the PIU is bracing for?
They list quite a few concerns. First off, they reckon those scrapping criteria we talked about could make trading damaged vehicles unprofitable. Now, this could basically kill off the differential method, sometimes called the difference method for calculating insurance total loss payouts.
Explain that method quickly.
Sure. It's where the payout is a car's value before the accident, minus what it's worth as salvage after the accident.
Yeah.
But if damaged cars suddenly have no real trade-in or salvage value because of these rules,
then that calculation changes completely. The payout might have to be higher.
Or the whole basis shifts, yeah. It impacts how total losses are settled. And linked to that, if fewer damaged cars get repaired and sold on.
Less supply of used cars on the market.
That's what they suggest, yeah. A potential decrease in the supply of used vehicles, which basic economics could lead to an increase in the value of vehicles overall.
Okay, so potentially higher used car prices. What about costs hitting the insurers directly?
The presentation flags a new one. The necessity for insurance companies to bear the costs of transporting vehicles withdrawn from use to processing plants. So who pays to get the scrapped car to the recycling facility? They see that landing on the insurer.
Another cost to factor in. And they mentioned something really quite alarming, a potential rise in car thefts.
Yes, and they link that straight back to the used parts issue. If the official documented used parts become less competitive or harder to use,
the demand for cheap, maybe stolen parts goes up.
That's the fear, that it could inadvertently fuel the market for stolen vehicles broken down for parts. A really stark potential side effect.
Absolutely. And just the day-to-day cost of handling claims, does that change?
They anticipate a big jump there, too. For one thing, they mentioned the obligation to perform assessments to check against the scrapping criteria in all damage cases, regardless of their size.
Wait, hang on. You mean even for like a minor parking scrape, they'd have to do a full assessment just in case it triggers the scrapping rules? That sounds incredibly bureaucratic.
That's the interpretation they seem to be making from the draft, that the assessment duty is very broad. And secondly, because those rules are complicated and ambiguous, they predict an increase in complaints and court disputes.
Because people will inevitably disagree on whether a car really meets the scrapping criteria.
Exactly. Different interpretations leading to more arguments, more legal challenges.
Okay, so let me recap. More assessments needed, more potential arguments and legal fights, higher admin costs, potentially higher used car values, new transport costs for scrapped cars, and this worrying link to increased theft. It's a pretty complex web of potential impacts.
It really shows how a regulation, even one with a laudable environmental aim, can ripple through a complex system like car insurance and repairs in ways that might not have been fully anticipated. But given all these concerns, the PIU doesn't just criticize. They do offer specific suggestions.
Okay, so what do they propose to fix it? What are their key recommendations?
Well, they have several concrete ideas. First, tackle the root problem. The assessment criteria for scrapping a vehicle, that's Article 37 again, should be simplified and clarified. Basically, make the rules clear, easy to understand, and consistent.
Makes sense. Get rid of the ambiguity.
Precisely. Second, they think the mandatory scrapping obligation, which is in Annex I, should only kick in for special cases. It shouldn't be like an easy default for cars that could reasonably be repaired.
So scrap it only if it's really necessary, not just because it technically ticks a box in a complex rule.
That's the idea. Third, and this is a big one for them, they argue that vehicle owners must keep their freedom in making decisions about repairing or selling their vehicle. Ultimately, they feel the choice should stay with the owner unless there's a very compelling, unavoidable reason otherwise.
Right. Respecting that it's the owner's property, what about those transport costs?
They want clarity. They recommend the regulation needs to make it clear who is to bear the costs of transporting vehicles to processing points. Just define who pays for that step.
Okay, nail down the responsibility. And back to those used parts. That seemed critical.
Absolutely. The PIU recommends the regulation should introduce proper incentives for using used parts.
So actively encourage it, don't accidentally discourage it.
Yes. And then, importantly, to make that work well, they also suggest that repairs should specifically use parts of documented origin.
Ah, so encourage used parts, but make sure they're the legitimate, traceable ones. That closes the loop on the theft concern, doesn't it?
It would certainly help, yeah. Ensure the encouraged market is for the right kind of parts.
Okay, so simplify the rules, make scrapping rarer, keep owner choice, clarify costs, and incentivize documented used parts. That sounds like a practical set of suggestions.
That's the gist of the PIU's recommendations, based on their reading of the draft ELV regulation.
So this deep dive into the PIU's perspective really highlights the tightrope walk involved here, doesn't it? You have this clear environmental goal, a circular economy for cars, less waste, but the specific rules proposed in this draft, the PIU argues they could backfire. You could end up with more waste from good used parts, potentially more theft looking for cheap parts, and definitely higher costs, likely hitting insurers, and in the end, car owners like you.
Mm-hmm. It really makes you think about that balance, you know, the balance between setting ambitious green targets and making sure the rules to get there are actually practical, affordable, and don't create a whole new set of problems. The PIU's feedback really underscores how tricky getting that balance right can be.
It's a super important discussion, and it feels like this draft regulation still needs some serious work based on this feedback. Definitely something we need to keep watching as it evolves.